Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Leader Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:41 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is June 19th. U.S. stock markets are closed today because of the Juneteenth public holiday, but there's plenty to talk about. Certainly, what I want to cover today is the 10-year yield in the UK, which is putting downward pressure on the stock market, and obviously, it raises the question about sticky inflation. Then we also have a really significant rebound in agricultural commodities. So that's probably going to increase inflationary pressures. Then you had the Chinese stock market, which was in weaker territory today, despite some more dovish talk from the Chinese administration, mostly because it wasn't quite as dovish as people wanted. And now we also have Australia outperforming in rather robust fashion. That is despite the fact that it was the mining shares led on the downside in the UK today. And then when we think about what else is going on in the world, well, it's looking increasingly likely that Latin American countries are going to be cutting interest rates, and that should help to boost demand. But then what about the outlook for the technology sector? Of course, most of those big companies were all shut today. In for the public holiday, but in the futures market, the US or Wall Street is in negative territory. So let's look at some of these charts. So starting off with the 10-year yield in the UK, it's at a new closing high, and this continues to look like an uptrend. And we can see that there was an accelerated decline down to test the region of the 200-day moving average in response to the Bank of England's panicky intervention to support the market when the pension blow-up occurred. Well, that pension blow-up also afforded the possibility to those pension funds to exit their positions. So we don't have quite the same amount of leverage right now, although we can be certainly sure that a good many consumers are going to be feeling the pain as mortgage rates ramp higher. And this trend remains very much in play. So, we've also seen that the pound has rebounded really quite emphatically versus the dollar. It's unwound its oversold condition relative to the 1,000-day moving average, and it's a bit overbought in the short term. So, we could easily see some consolidation here. But I don't anticipate it to be anything other than some consolidation for the simple reason that the US has plenty of its own problems. The UK inflation issue is sticky. So, what we're definitely seeing, for example, is that housing prices are beginning to moderate, and that's likely to bring down some of the interest rate sensitive portion part of inflation. But it's not going to affect the cost of imports. That's mostly about the pound, but that we could maybe say that that is about that's interest rate sensitive as well because the pound is going up. But now let's think about the fact that there aren't enough nurses. So, or that there aren't enough of workers, that there's a high unemployment rate, or there's a high underemployment rate, or a large number of people who are outside of the workforce. How do you get those people back into the workforce? How do you stop paying for them and make them more payers into society? And that's not easy. It's certainly not painful. And it suggests that there's going to have to be a certain amount of pain inflicted upon the population. Now, that's not something that any politician wants to do. And I think it's probably likely that the Conservatives, with all the issues they're having right now, with the unveiling of basically contempt for the ordinary people in what they were doing with Partygate and all of these other philandering that was going on during the lockdowns. Well, I think they're probably going to be punished for that in the election box. But the FTSE 100 is pulling back now from the region of the 200-day moving average, and it looks like it's rolling over. Now, these are big stable companies. When we look at the FTSE 250, which is the smaller companies, then it is also rolling over in the region of the 200-day moving average. And then the small companies like the AIM 100, well, it didn't really rally, and it is now coming back down to test its lows from last year. So this is very clear evidence that stocks are taking their cue from the bond market, and this is not encouraging action. It suggests that the UK economy is going to go through a period of strife. Now let's just think about what's going on in China. The H-share index has rebounded, and it is right in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's testing the sequence of lower rally highs. So the bet is that the Chinese administration is going to have to stimulate because they don't want to work with a property market crash. But so far, they have been rather reluctant to pull those liquidity levers. So this is pretty much the point at which, if demand dominance is going to be reasserted, then it's going to sustain a move up through the 7,000 level. And if demand dominance fails at this level, well, then it suggests that we're not going to see quite the same amount of liquidity as is being hoped for. Now, I think that the most likely scenario is that they will stimulate, but that the volume of stimulus will not be on par with what we've seen in the past, because the last thing the Chinese administration want is to reflate the property bubble. Now, when we look at what's happening in Taiwan, it's being led higher by those semiconductor companies. So this has been really quite an impressive rebound, and it is finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average, and we have a short-term overbought condition. I think it is more likely than not that we're going to get at least some consolidation here. What happens in terms of the valuation expansion for a lot of those big technology companies in the USA is going to obviously have a bearing on what happens in Taiwan. Staying in Asia, the Australian market continues to rebound, and it still has the higher reaction lows since last year. It's been within this range now for over 2 years and consolidating really mostly above the peaks put in back in 2019. And the Australian dollar is also rebounding against the US dollar, and it has now pushed back above the 200-day moving average. I think it will be a lot more convincing if it sustains a move up through the 70-cent level, and that would certainly then help to give concrete proof that the more than 2-year downtrend has in fact been broken. Now, the Prime Minister of New Zealand is going to be in China and chatting there, and of course, China is the largest buyer of New Zealand exports. That's not particularly unusual, considering Australia is in much the same condition. I think we can anticipate that New Zealand is going to be very quiet about everything that everyone else seems to be worried about. And the New Zealand dollar continues to steady here, and it hasn't quite yet broken the sequence of lower rally highs either, but it is certainly steadying. Then, as we think about currencies steadying against the dollar, the South African rand has really had a storming rebound over the last couple of weeks, and now it's at the first area of potential resistance. So it was short-term oversold, it has rebounded and unwound the oversold condition. Now the big question is, what's going to happen next? Are we going to see substantial interest rate hikes? Are they going to try and get inflation under control? Is anything ever going to be done about the corruption that continues to plague the electricity utility? Now, what happens there is going to have a knock-on effect on platinum. But I don't think we're in the same kind of situation as we were when platinum prices went vertical a decade ago, because a lot of generating capacity has been installed within the mining sector. So even if electricity is cut off in rolling blackouts, it's unlikely to result in a big contraction in mining activity. But platinum is now back testing the $1,000 level, and the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's a little oversold, so it's potentially now in an area of support. And gold prices have been moderate, so down a tad in here today, still at the lower side of this range that's been forming for the last 3 weeks. Any kind of dollar strength is contributing to a little weakness in the gold price, but then I think when we think about the medium term, it is more likely than not that gold will break on the upside. The issues with debt, the fact that the USA has been running these large deficits with no real incentive or willingness of politicians to address them, no longer getting a dividend from the Federal Reserve, the cost of servicing the debt has jumped from 400 to 600 billion in the last 2 years, and then tax receipts are rolling over. The only way to address those kinds of problems is to print more currency. So it would suggest that any kind of steadiness we get in the dollar isn't likely to hold. Now, then let's think about how the performance that we've seen in some of the Latin American currencies. The Mexican peso is really quite overbought in the short term, and it is likely to unwind that overbought condition in due course. And then the Mexican ETF has been one of the stalwarts. Now, it was closed today, but that's still very much a clear uptrend. And then the Brazilian real is also beginning to appreciate in a more convincing manner. So it is now closing and holding this move through the 1,000-day moving average. It is more likely than not that the Latin American countries are going to be among the first to cut interest rates. They were the most aggressive and early in hiking rates. And institutionally, they have a much more recent experience pool with dealing with inflation. So it is quite likely that they will reap the benefits of that early action first. They'll get inflation under control first. And then what that will contribute to is a resumption of economic growth and potentially greater consumer demand in those countries before we start to see it anywhere else. It's likely to be a lead indicator for also what we can anticipate from other countries as they deal with their inflationary pressures, albeit in not as robust a fashion or a manner. So when we look at the Bovespa index in Brazil, then it has rebounded now and is back testing the 120,000 level where it encountered resistance on several occasions over the last couple of years. But of course, that is in an environment where the currency is also appreciating. So it has done somewhat better, but is also testing an area of resistance from the past. If it can push up through that level and break out to new currency adjusted highs, then that is going to represent a clear incentive for foreign investors to give greater favor to Latin American markets. And of course, it does beg the question, are we likely to see emerging markets and commodities do better over better than Wall Street over the next few years? And I think a lot of that is going to have to do with valuations on Wall Street, and they're excessive by any measure. And it really will then depend on how strong economic growth is within the USA. And I really think that the promises that are being made around artificial intelligence, I mean, it is an exceptionally promising technology, but I've seen comparisons that it is being compared to fire as among the most significant of all human inventions. Now, that sounds a little bit enthusiastic, but then let's think about what's happening in terms of agricultural commodities. I think there are a couple of points here. The first is that the Invesco Agriculture Fund, which is a futures fund, is now breaking higher. And it is being led higher by soybeans. And I'm going to put up the second month continuation chart because it takes out some of the steps from the contract changes. And that's a very emphatic upward dynamic. So that has now confirmed support in the region of the upper side of the base formation and continues to suggest that this is a first step above the base. Now, we have very similar activity, although at much bigger moves for things like wheat. It has also found support in the region of the upper side of the base formation, and then also corn. So this is very clear evidence of agricultural commodities finding support exactly where they need to in order to demonstrate that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. And then Robusta coffee continues to push higher. And this looks like a very convincing breakout. So we're now at levels that haven't been seen since the contract was reformulated. And this is also entering an El Nino. So there's the possibility that we're going to have additional weather disruptions. And this is in an environment where commodity prices are already quite strong. So there is obviously the potential that one of the things that brought inflation down over the last several months was lower food prices, whereas now the food commodities are starting to push on the upside. And it's not just the grains and beans and coffee, but sugar is also firming here, right in the region of the peaks from back in 2016. And this is breaking out. So this is certainly beginning to suggest here that we're moving back into a more difficult commodity-led move, and that's likely to contribute to inflationary pressures. Now, of course, we have also got this very tight trading environment in crude oil, and Brent was marginally down in here today, not in a dynamic fashion in any sense of the word, but the medium-term succession of lower rally highs is still intact. And until that changes, then I have to think that it's more likely than not that the breakdown is, or the breakout is going to be on the downside. And I think that the risks are that global demand is going to be more of a factor than limiting supply by OPEC in the near term. Now, I know that there are arguments that Hubert's peak has been reached for the Permian, or that we're suddenly going to have a phenomenally huge move in oil prices on the upside because there hasn't been a lot of new investment in. Or there hasn't been a lot of investment in new supply, and that has been a factor that's been underway for several years. So when the global economy does recover, then potentially oil prices will be firmer. But that's a tomorrow story. It's not a today story. And I think that's something that we should be aware of and pay attention to. But certainly, if it's relevant, then we should also see that prices should confirm it. And that's not quite the case just yet. So I think these are the primary issues underway. Now, I also wanted to just give an update on the chart library. I think it is an unfortunate coincidence that I sent out a survey last week asking about people's priorities and whether they really value the chart library as an integral part of the service. And then it failed in here today. Our server is more than 10 years old. It's located in Eastern Europe, and it probably needs to be fully replaced. Now, there is inherently a risk in doing that, in that some of the back history for charts could be lost, and then the cost of replacing that back history and buying it back again from Bloomberg is prohibitively expensive. So there are risks in changing servers. At least that's what I've been informed of. So we will attempt to take, I think, more concrete remedial action because servers falling over and what are being described as fragile and shaky infrastructure by the guys looking after it, that is obviously something that we do need to address. But we also need to come up with a way of revitalizing the website and trying to create an environment where we can find more people to find the website. And that has been an ongoing struggle for several years already. Certainly, there are decisions to be made about what is the best way to promote the site over time. And that will probably necessitate a different way of supplying the information that is currently coming through the website as it is right now. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.